poems and short stories with Jean, keeping you connected.
Hello, everybody. Well, autumn is well and truly with us now, isn't it? At the moment, I'm ankle deep in leaves in my front path, but they're so wet at the moment, they're hard to pick up. Where has this year gone? It'll be Christmas before we know it. Enough about me. Anyway, today's poems I've chosen from the nation's favourite comic poems. So let's see what it has to offer, shall we? Now, I'm very fond of Winnie the Pooh. And this first poem is by his creator, A.A. Milne, and it's called The King's Breakfast. The King asked the maid. I'll start again, sorry. The King asked the Queen, and the Queen asked the dairymaid, could we have some butter for the royal slice of bread? The Queen asked the dairymaid said, certainly, I'll go and tell the cow now before she goes to bed. The dairymaid, she curtsied and went and told the Alderney, don't forget the butter for the royal slice of bread. The Alderney said sleepily, you'd better tell His Majesty that many people nowadays like marmalade instead. The dairymaid said, fancy, and went to see Her Majesty. She curtsied to the Queen and she turned a little red. Excuse me, Your Majesty, for taking of the liberty, but marmalade is tasty if it's very thickly spread. The Queen said, oh, and went to see His Majesty. Talking of the butter for the royal slice of bread, many people think that marmalade is nicer. Would you like to try a little marmalade instead? The King said, bother. And then he said, oh, dearie me. The King sobbed, oh, dearie me, and went back to bed. Nobody, he whimpered, could call me a fussy man. I only want a little bit of butter for my bread. The Queen said, there, there, and went to the dairymaid. The dairymaid said, there, there, and went to the shed. The cow said, there, there, I didn't really mean it. Here's milk for his porringer and butter for his bread. The Queen took the butter and she brought it to His Majesty. The King said, butter, eh? And bounced out of bed. Nobody, he said, as he kissed her tenderly. Nobody, he said, as he slid down the banisters. Nobody, my darling, could call me a fussy man. But I do like a little bit of butter on my bread. Well, I like a little bit of butter on my bread, but I like marmalade as well as. So there. I'm glad the King got his butter anyway in the end. He sounds a nice King. Now then, next we've got Wendy Cope. Now, Wendy Cope is a very funny writer and sometimes she's a bit rude, but we won't have a rude one this morning. We'll just have one that's called Lonely Hearts. Can someone make my simple wish come true? Male biker seeks female for touring fun. Do you live in North London? Is it you? Gay vegetarian whose friends are few. I'm into music, Shakespeare and the sun. Can someone make my simple wish come true? Executive, in search of something new. Perhaps a bisexual woman, arty, young. Do you live in North London? Is it you? Successful, straight and solvent, I am too. Attractive Jewish lady with a son. Can someone make my simple wish come true? I'm Librian, inexperienced and blue. Need slim, non-smoker, under 21. Do you live in North London? Is it you? Please write, with photo, to Box 152. Who knows where it may lead once we've begun? Can someone make my simple wish come true? Do you live in North London? Is it you? Is it you, Tim? No, he says it's not him. Oh, well, never mind. I hope that's, whoever it is, I hope they find their, whoever it is they're looking for and whatever it is they're looking for as well. Now then, our third poem. You'll know this one. It's a very old one, so you might like to join in. I mean, I haven't read it myself for a long time, but it all comes back to me. And it is by Lewis Carroll, who wrote Alice in Wonderland, and it's called Father William. "You are old, Father William," the young man said, "and your hair has become very white, and yet you incessantly stand on your head. Do you think at your age it is right?" "In my youth," Father William replied to his son, "I feared it might injure the brain. But now that I'm perfectly sure I have none, why, I do it again and again." "You're old," said the youth, "as I mentioned before, and have grown most uncommonly fat. Yet you turned a back somersault in at the door. Pray, what is the reason of that?" "In my youth," said the sage, as he shook his grey locks, "I kept all my limbs very subtle. By the use of this ointment, 1 shilling a box. Allow me to sell you a couple." "You are old," said the youth, "and your jaws are too weak for anything tougher than suet. Yet you finished the goose with the bones and the beak. Pray, how did you manage to do it?" "In my youth," said his father, "I took to the law, and I argued each case with my wife. And the muscular strength which it gave to my jaw has lasted the rest of my life." "You are old," said the youth. "One would hardly suppose that your eye was as steady as ever. Yet you balanced a needle on the end of your nose. What made you so awfully clever?" "I've answered 3 questions, and that is enough," said his father. "Don't give yourself airs. Do you think I can listen all day to such stuff? Be off, or I'll kick you downstairs." And serve him right, that's what I say. Treating old people like that is just not on, is it? No. Number 4. What shall we have for number 4? How about Why Ducks Don't Shop in Sainsbury's? Sounds a silly poem, doesn't it? But I think that's the point of it, really. It's by somebody named Gary Boswell, I've never heard of, but he was born in 1960. It's called, again, Why Ducks Don't Shop in Sainsbury's. "You can't get millet at Sainsbury's, and they don't sell grass or weed. It's a total dead loss for heather and moss, and they don't stock sunflower seed. They've got some fresh fish in the freezer, but they're low on rats and mice, and you're out of luck if you're a debonair duck and you want to buy something nice. 'Cause none of their bread is stale, and they've stopped selling hay and straw. Let's face it, if you were a duck in Sainsbury's, you'd be heading for the exit door." Well, who'd be a duck, even if they don't go and shop at Sainsbury's? Now then, those that know me know that one of my very, very, very favourite poets is Sir John Betjeman, 1906 to 1984. And I love almost anything by John Betjeman. And this one's called, and you'll know this one as well, this one's called A Subaltern's Love Song. "Miss J. Hunter Dunn, Miss J. Hunter Dunn, furnished and burnished by Aldershot's sun, what strenuous singles we played after tea, we in the tournament, you against me. Love 30, love 40, oh weakness of joy, the speed of a swallow, the grace of a boy, with carefulest carelessness, gaily you won. I'm weak from your loveliness, Joan Hunter Dunn. Miss Joan Hunter Dunn, Miss Joan Hunter Dunn, how mad I am, sad I am, glad I am, you won. The warm-handled racket is back in its press, but my shock-headed victor, she loves me no less. Her father's unanimous shines as we walk and swing past the summer house, buried in talk, and cool the veranda that welcomes us in to the 6 o'clock news and a lime juice and gin. The scent of the conifers, sound of the bath, the view from my bedroom of moss-dappled path, as I struggle with double-end evening tie, for we dance at the golf club, my victor and I. On the floor of her bedroom lie blazer and shorts, and the cream-coloured walls are trophied with sports, and westering, questioning, settles the sun on your low-leaded window, Miss Joan Hunter Dunn. The hillman is waiting, the lights in the hall, The pictures of Egypt are bright on the wall. My sweet, I am standing beside the oak stair, and there on the landing, the light on your hair. By roads not adopted, by woodlanded ways, she drove to the club in the late summer haze, into 9 o'clock Camberley, heavy with bells, and mushroomy, pine woody, evergreen smells. Miss Joan Hunter Dunn, Miss Joan Hunter Dunn, I can hear from the car park the dance has begun. Oh, full Surrey twilight, importunate band, oh, strongly adorable tennis girl's hand. Around us are Rovers and Austins afar, above us the intimate roof of the car. And here by my right is the girl of my choice, with the tilt of her nose and the chime of her voice, and the scent of her rap, and the words never said, and the ominous, ominous dancing ahead. We sat in the car park till 20 to 1, and now I'm engaged to Miss Joan Hunter Dunn. Wasn't that lovely? You can't beat John Betjeman, can you? Don't care what anybody says. But that's all from me for today, and I hope I'll be back soon with something different. Bye for now.